About anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7 to begin with. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Again, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Then Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Again, Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. Then finally, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. We thank you for the students of Downers Grove Christian School, and thank you for the privilege of having them on the broadcast to share your word, to share the Christmas narratives with many people who will be blessed and encouraged during this Christmas season as they hear it. Father, anoint this whole broadcast with an even greater anointing. Let the name of Jesus be lifted up mightily through every moment of it. We thank you and we praise you. Do a perfect work in the heart of every listener today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to praise your name and thank you so much for the season where we get to remember that Jesus came. It was said that his name would be Emmanuel, or God with us. And Father, we're remembering now how you are with us, how you came in the form of a baby in Jesus, and how after the resurrection, Jesus returned in the form of the Holy Spirit. So thank you so much, Father, for this Christmas season. We praise you for being such a beautifully present God. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We are very blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Miss Sonia Ponce. She's the teacher for a third grade class from the school, Downers Grove Christian School in Downers Grove, Illinois. And they're going to be reading the Christmas narratives for us. So, Sonia, thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
An honor to have you and your students to come on and share and bless people as they share the Christmas narratives. As we begin, would you say a word of prayer for your students and for young people in our culture today as well?
Sure. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, we just come before you today and just voicing off what has already been prayed, we just thank you so much for sending your son down from the glories of heaven that he could enter in a sin-tainted world, ultimately to redeem us and to save us. And We eagerly anticipate Christmas, but we also eagerly anticipate Christ's second coming, where we will all be gathered up with him. And we just take this time to pray for young people in this nation, and I pray that you will allow them to hear your word and to hear the gospel and protect their minds and their hearts. And I just thank you for Christian schools and for the opportunities that we have to teach students about you, teach children about you, and to help mold their hearts and their minds to love and follow you. And I pray that you will guard each of the children who are reading today's passages, that you will bless their efforts and that you will calm any nerves. And I pray that the listeners will be blessed by their scripture reading of the Christmas narrative. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And again, we do have third grade students from Downers Grove Christian School that will be sharing reading from Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, beginning at Matthew chapter 1.
This is the son. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Solomon, Solomon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife, Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abijah, Abijah the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Jehoram, Jehoram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Ahaz, Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of Abinahad. Abinahad the father of Eliakim. Eliakim the father of Azar. Azar the father of Zadok. Zadok the father of Akim. Akim the father of Elihud. Elihud the father of Ezlar. Ezlar the father of Mason. Mason the father of Jacob. And Jacob the father of Joseph. The husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus, there are 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "This virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you in Bethlehem in the land of Judah are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called together the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report him to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so as fulfilled what was said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I call my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. When that was said through the prophet Jeremiah, it was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was remaining in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets that he would be called a Nazarene.
Many have undertaken to draw up an account of things, accounts of things that have been handed down to us by those who were first eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decide to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But there were trials because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by a lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of burning incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside.
Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be..."
You're listening to third grade students from Downers Grove Christian School as they're reading through the Christmas narratives. We'll be right back.
Bethlehem and see more than a story, it'll set you free. Are you tired of the running? Are you tired of the shame? Baby born in a manger's gonna break every chain. Angels fill up the heavens with the sound of his name.
Music from Casting Crowns with Gloria. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're privileged to have with us as our phone guests third grade students from Downers Grove Christian School, Downers Grove, Illinois. They're sharing the Christmas narratives with us, and they'll pick up in Luke chapter 1 at verse 11.
Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time."
Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to marry a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angels went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How is this the Mary?" asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come onto you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth with, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped into her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her."
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to her son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her great joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." That they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was set free, and he began to speak, praising God.
Were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham.
to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest rooms available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they became looking for him among the relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at the understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I would be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Amen. Amen. You've been listening to third grade students from Downers Grove Christian School sharing from the Christmas narratives, and they did an absolutely beautiful job. Two of the students are going to lead us in a word of prayer at this time.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you that we're here. Please help us to have a good rest of our day. Please help the people that don't know about Jesus to read the Bible and learn more about him and do everything that God would want them to do. And please help us to do well in the rest of our stuff today. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all of the third graders of their minds. And thank you. and help all of us to have a great rest of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, you've listened to third graders from Downers Grove Christian School as they shared through portions of the Christmas narratives and then led us in prayer. Father, thank you again for these students. Thank you for their teacher, Miss Sonia Ponce. And thank you, Father, for the witness of precious young people like these who reading your wonderful Christmas stories. Lord, help us to be wise enough to take the time to read through the Christmas narratives, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, several times during the Christmas season, and thus be blessed by the insight, the wisdom, the grace, and the power of these wonderful, wonderful stories. Thank you, Father, for Downers Grove Christian School. And thank you, Lord, for young people in our culture as a whole. Father, more and more, send forth laborers amongst our children and youth who will clearly proclaim the gospel to them. Draw them to yourself. Raise up more and more ministry to our children, helping them to come to know Jesus, and then helping them learn to grow up in their faith as well. Thank you, Father, for Christian schools all over our nation, and anoint them, use them more and more to disciple our children in their faith. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you were listening to third grade students from Downers Grove Christian School reading through the Christmas narratives. We'll be right back.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him a room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, oh come.
Music of Mercy Me with Joy. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. For the balance of the broadcast, we want to share with you a couple articles that are discipleship articles. We want to encourage you, please be sure and email us to get copies for you to keep for your own discipleship, for using to disciple your family, and to share far and wide with friends, fellow workers on the job, church workers, saved and unsaved individuals as well. The first article is entitled, Celebrate a Biblical Christmas. The Christmas narratives, stories of grace, salvation, peace, and truth. More treasures can be found in the Christmas narratives than just the gold, frankincense, and myrrh of Matthew chapter 2. The Christmas narratives are simply the Christmas stories found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. They make up the Christmas story. It's in these four chapters that we find from God's Word a treasury of grace, wisdom, salvation, and hope that make up the wonderful and blessed story of Christmas. The narratives that make up the Christmas story are simple yet profound, humble yet glorious, and always full of wonder. They're about normal people yet filled with wonderful and supernatural events. Here in this story, God invades the earth with his peace, his hope, and his gift of salvation, his son, Jesus Christ. This Christmas season, consider a few suggestions for you and your family that can greatly bless your observance of Christmas. During the Christmas season, take time to read Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. And when you've finished, read them again. And then when you've finished, read them again. Spend time reading and meditating on them throughout the month of December. Read them as an individual believer, but also read them with your family several times. Parents, have your children take turns and ask each one to read one of the four chapters out loud to you. It's good if you read it to them, but also let them do a lot of the reading as well. Very often they'll get so much more out of it if they do the reading. Also, as they read, allow them to stop and ask questions. And typically they will have questions, possibly many of them. Children's questions are really just typically good questions. They help draw everyone in the family more and more into the Christmas story. In addition to reading the stories, you're wise to listen to them as well. You can listen on a Bible app or an audio Bible, a Bible CD, or maybe a Bible DVD as well. Many times during the Christmas and Advent seasons, just listening to Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 1 and 2, again, this will bless your socks off. Also, if your grown children live away or maybe you're away, you happen to be separated from your children for a time or during the Christmas season, perhaps you may want to record your voice reading the Christmas stories on your smartphone and sending it to them. They may keep it for many years as a reminder of your love for them and God's love for all of us. So please, during the Christmas season, make it a high priority to read and meditate on and listen to the Christmas stories many times. Take time to do this even in the midst of a time that's busier than many other times of the year. This is just a very wise family goal, even though life is busy. Life's always busy. Life doesn't have a pause button. Yet a family project like this is a great way to, quote-unquote, redeem the time with your family. See Ephesians 5:16. We'd be very wise to learn an important lesson from the wise men of Matthew chapter 2. In the busyness of their lives, they were wise enough to put their busyness aside. They took much of their time and spent their money and spent much energy and effort to follow God. They followed the guiding star God provided for them to come and find the King of the Jews and the King of the universe and worship him and bring him precious gifts. Let's you and I this Christmas be wise men and women. Let's be wise enough to put aside our weapons of mass distraction, our TVs, our computers, our MP3 players, our game systems, our CD players, cell phones, etc. Let's put aside some of our shopping and our gift giving and seek the Christ. And you will always find him in the Word of God. Now, some believers may read the Christmas stories once or twice during the Christmas holidays, and that's better than not reading them at all. But why only nibble on God's word when Jesus daily invites us to dine on it? See John 21, verse 12. Taking time to read and meditate on the Christmas stories throughout the Christmas season will be its own reward. It's a gift you can give to yourself and to your family and to Jesus. Let's take the time. All right, and then the second article that we want to share is entitled A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. Luke 2:11 tells us these words, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And then Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey." Again, Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 3. How encouraging, uplifting, and inspiring it is for believers to take time to read, meditate, and think about the beautiful, glorious, and grace-filled narratives we know as the Christmas stories. They're found in Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2. What a great tragedy it is that so many children have never in their life read the Christmas narratives or the Christmas story. Here's a project specifically for grandparents especially, but it can actually be done by parents too, during the Christmas season. Grandparents, here's the project. Let each of your grandchildren know that you'd like for them to do the following for you. Call you every day for 8 days during, call you every day for 9 days during Advent or during the month of December. And during each call, read a part of the Christmas narratives out loud. Here's one possible reading plan you could use. For children who are 8 years old and older, they can follow this plan. Day one, Matthew chapter 1. Day two, Matthew 2. Day three, Luke 1, 1 to 20. The next day, Luke 1, 21 to 37. The next day, Luke 1, 38 to 56. The following day, Luke 1, 57 to 80. The next day, Luke 2, 1 to 20. The next day, Luke 2, 21 to 38. And then the last day, Luke 2, 39 to 52. For children younger than 8, you might simply have them read shorter passages that you select from these same chapters in Matthew and Luke. Or you may even choose to have them read the same passage each time. Let them know that you'll give them $1, $5, or whatever figure you prayerfully come up with each time they call you up and read for you. Now, for many a grandchild that isn't particularly motivated to read just by your request, remember the money prize has a strange way of suddenly causing sometimes you're causing your grandchildren to become highly motivated to read for granddad and grandma. Why is a project like this such a fruitful one? Allow me to share with you several reasons. The Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. When our children and grandchildren read the Word of God, they're spending time listening to and fellowshipping with Jesus. And for many a child, a grandparent doing this kind of project may be the only person in his or her life that's having them read the Word of God out loud to them. There's nothing in all of the world that will bless and nourish the lives of our children and grandchildren more than the powerful Word of God. Grandparents can have one more excuse to call and spend time. Grandparents can have one more excuse to call and spend time in conversation with their grandchildren. And after they begin the reading project, I'd suggest you begin to mail the money prizes the same day as they start reading for you. One way to do this is to see that you mail 9 separate checks made out to your grandchild 9 times. Now, why do it this way instead of sending one check all at the end of the project? Well, your grandchild will receive 9 different gifts instead of one. And receiving each gift or reward can increase their excitement for the excitement for each grandchild. Picture your grandchild saying, "Mom, did the mail come yet? Grandmother's sending me some money for reading about Christmas." Imagine the grandchild opening the envelope and saying, "Here's my money from Granddad. He must think reading about Jesus and Christmas is really important." And imagine your grandchild doing this for 9 days coming up to Christmas, getting more excited about getting their mail than the day before. Obviously, the great blessing to your grandchild is not the money. It's having the eternal Word of God planted in his or her heart. Every grandparent can choose to do this project however they want to, and certainly you can adjust or change details in whatever way is most productive for you. That's entirely up to you. This is simply a fun way to carry out a Christmas discipleship project that can have eternal fruit in the lives of your grandchildren. What do you say, grandparents? Are grandchildren worth the fruitful and fun effort? They're more than worth it. Again, the title of this second article, A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. If you'd like to get copies of both articles, again, the first article is entitled Celebrate a Biblical Christmas, and the second article is entitled A Grandparent's Discipleship Project. Again, my email to get one or both articles, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We definitely hope to hear from you. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to do many different kinds of discipleship projects or works with our children or grandchildren. Anoint us as parents and grandparents to be wise enough to make this a high priority, planting your powerful, wonderful word in their hearts and their minds. Help us to do our part to help our children realize that the Word of God is the key to all of life, and that the Word of God is Jesus. And as they read and meditate on the Word of God, they'll be blessed, impacted, and encouraged in so many ways because of the nature of God's precious word. Thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never in your life made the eternally important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step and fully commit your heart and life to the Lord, would you from your heart simply pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago as a little baby. You grew up, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for all the wrongs I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent. And I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey your word every day. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed and committed your life to Christ with us today, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. We definitely hope to hear from you. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. Same email if you're wanting to get copies of one or both articles we shared. Again, the titles of the articles, the first one, Celebrate a Biblical Christmas, and the second article, A Grandparent's Christmas Discipleship Project. To get one or both, simply email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. Father, again, we thank you for Downers Grove Christian School and all Christian schools, and thank you for schools, period. Lord, send forth more laborers into all of our schools and more help our children come to know Christ and to grow strong in their new walk with him. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Have a blessed and Merry Christmas.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.